Now, we've got Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike from Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, joins us every week on the show. Hut, what's going on?
What's up, Willie? What's up, Hal? How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great. So, Hut, how are you enjoying the College World Series? We're just talking about watching it with the perspective of how everything has changed so much. Like when Vanderbilt lost in the final, sure, which wasn't very long ago, 2021, with Kamar Rocker, Jack Leiter, and that group, I cannot remember a single transfer that was playing a big role. There might have been one that I can't remember.
Yeah.
But we're talking about just 3 years ago. But how much has changed since then, since the ruling of the NIL and the transfer rule where you could freely transfer?
Willie, if we're being honest, I can't remember a single Tennessee fan watching that series.
I'm not surprised about that, yeah. But they were in the World Series that year, right?
No, I know. I'm saying like the Kamar Rocker. I just remember the trash talk on Sports Talk Radio.
Oh, gosh.
I'm saying. Like, oh, football matters. And now it's all baseball.
Yes.
I love it. I see the growth. This has a feel to it that I mean, my cousins back home in Morrison, Tennessee are watching it the way I used to grow up watching Seattle Mariners baseball because it was on late at night. It's cool. Beyond all the politics of what college has become, it's cool just to see people talking about it again. People talking about it at the bar.
Yes.
That's cool. You're right, though, about the transfer portal. Honestly, I don't think about that stuff, though, whenever I'm watching someone at bat.
And I think most fans probably don't. It's more the people that think about what a coach – you know, you have to kind of take it to another level. But for pure enjoyment, and I was listening to Kyle Peterson and Chris Burke say, it was like, this is a better product of baseball. It's more refined, older players that have played more. And so what you're seeing on the field is great, and everybody's wearing the uniform. If your team's in it, you're like – well, I don't care how they got there. They're there. They're trying to win a championship.
Yeah, it's going to make the top teams better, right? That's the idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then you're tuned in and you watch these games go down to the final at bat. I mean, not even final at bat, final strike. You know, and you see the comeback. I mean, the walk-offs that we saw in succession, I mean, that too also plays a factor into the hype. When the hype lives up to the actual result, then you've got a product that people are going to tune back in for, regardless of who's playing. But it still is very much so, like, is your home state playing, is your region playing, whatever it might be. When you tune in, there's not a tune-out factor. And I think there may have used to be with this.
Mm-hmm.
They've figured out the sweet spot, and I hope they don't mess with it.
Yeah, the crowds and the viewership grows seemingly every year. And,
yes.
And I think more and more of the top players are going to go the college route. And maybe turn down that pro contract out of high
school. How much money do you think they're making to stay in college now? Compared to
I don't think any team could match what a high first round pick gets. You know, those guys still get several million dollars as a signing bonus. I mean, they can really soup it up there. They have it slotted now.
There was a dude,
but you can go over slot. You can over slot.
I was in high school.
Yeah,
there's a guy. Last name was Griffith. He was drafted like third or fourth round out of high school out of Manchester. He went the pro route. I have no idea. He went in the Marlins farm system. No idea what happened to him. But like I'm saying, like he's definitely going to college now, is he not?
Well, I think for those guys, the decision becomes a lot easier because you can probably match. It used to be that if you've offered a kid, Hal, $250,000 out of high school. That sounds like an enormous amount of money to an 18-year-old.
Yes.
Now, perhaps a Power 5 team would say, well, you know, we can get you somewhere in that ballpark for NIL to come here.
Yeah.
Well, the big thing that I think we're missing out is these are kids, and you're 18 years old. You need to have some structure. You need to go to school. I had a kid that I played against in baseball that mowed me down left and right, and he went on and signed with the A's right after that, and he got hooked on drugs, had three surgeries, and he was, you know, he was done.
Yeah.
And he didn't have that. He didn't grow up. I think in college you grow up, and if you can make some clink while you're in college, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, I think they're going to start winning that battle more and more. And maybe the top guys, I wouldn't say the level of like a Kobe Bryant kind of guy, because it's hard in baseball to know who's the can't miss, right? Maybe, you know, those – unbelievable generational talents, you kind of know they're going to make it. It's harder to figure that out in baseball because of injuries to a pitcher or you know, a hitter, it's hard to hit. It's hard to hit. Kids grow. They develop at different rates. So I do think the college game is going to get stronger in that respect. So that is going to be something to watch in, say, 5 years as this really starts to calcify what we're going to see from especially SEC baseball, Hutt, with Texas and Oklahoma coming in. Like, you talk about a super league. Like, you better bring it or you're going to get buried.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, like, well, first, not everyone can be Kenny Powers, right? Like, but, like, can you – is it a trampoline to where you almost get a not a bonus life, but, like, a you by going the college route the way they have or the way they're doing and get paid for it, do you almost bypass certain levels of the minors? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do think it allows you to start up the ladder a little bit more or – even if you start low, yes. You move up quicker because you're older, number one, so you tend to dominate the 18,
we'll
19,
know this
20-year-olds.
About 4 or 5 years.
A couple years older, yeah. So I think that's part of it, too. For example, Paul Skeens, who at this time last year was leading LSU to a championship, he's already in the big leagues. Now, he's a freak, right? He's amazing. The second pick in the draft, also from LSU, Dylan Cruz, position player, it's hard to jump right in. There's very few guys like a Will Clark who have gone right into the big leagues. That's really, really rare. But he's already in AAA. He just got moved from AA to AAA last year. So he's moving fast as well. So older guys who dominate college in the SEC, they're closer to the major leagues than, say, a high schooler that's going to take 4 or 5 years. Like the hockey guys are going to be drafted next week. Those guys are all 17 turning 18 or 18-ish. Yeah. They're a ways away in most cases, unless they're Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Or so like that. One more for you guys. Do you think we will see more? If we see one, maybe we see more. More coaches in college make the jump up because of this exposure.
That's a really good question because it's not only for the exposure, which I agree with that part of it. That you're in the limelight more. You're more of a household name. Like Tim Corbin, I think is very, very well connected with a lot of pro people. But I think he loves the college game. But the way the college game is changing and the mental stress of keeping your roster together every year. Imagine being a GM for the Predators where everybody's a free agent every year and how you're constantly
it's a
having
a football coach now.
Yeah. And so I do think some people might say, you know what? I'm going to the pros. At least I can sign guys to multi-year contracts there. I deal with players that I know I'm going to have for a couple of years, whereas this is chaos.
Yeah, I think college sports in general used to be a separate game, right? You know, you're running the wishbone in football and hockey. Yeah. You're dumping and chasing, you know.
And
you could coach that. You could fine-tune that. Now kids want to go where they're playing a pro game, and hockey players do it. I think baseball, they want to go to college to develop to be a pro. Yeah. That's why you're seeing football players that want to play under a pro system. They don't want to, you know, grind it and run the ball. They want to play that passing game. And so teams, players are going there as development.
Yeah, and Hutt, development is an interesting thing too because from the college coach's perspective, I'm sure that used to be a big reward for them. Take away the money you're making and the winning that you have to do to survive. But the satisfaction of watching a guy, I've really seen this guy develop for 3 years. But now you might develop a guy behind the scenes for a year or two only to see him leave to go somewhere else to where it comes out. So that's it's another
problem. And
that goes
back to how many guys are missing out, like football players are missing out on a Rose Bowl because they don't want to get hurt because that we missed the national championship. So I'm going to, you're playing in a big bowl game and you don't want to play for your team because you're afraid you're going to get hurt like that. I think that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah. And coaches at the end of the day, you want to coach, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't want to deal with all the other stuff on the periphery. Like I'm curious because in baseball, we just don't see that jump from college to pro, even on the, on a small level, and I wonder
if it
leads to one or two just bigger names in college baseball trying their hand the way that Dan Hurley has said he wants to coach in the NBA, but you know Dan Hurley was leading headlines of the NBA finals, you know,
like
that's will we see that from a Tony Vitello like name in college baseball. Yeah, eventually.
You're right. Historically, I can't really think of very many. Maybe one or two have even tried. And I don't think anybody's really done it super successful. Like, I don't think there's anybody that's won a national championship and a World Series as a manager.
It would take a big brand to do it, like Yankees, Red Sox, to lead headlines like the Lakers.
Because
I'm saying that
it's
could
a trend.
That happen? I think we're seeing the era where it could.
Because in college hockey, we are starting to see a lot of college coaches get
an
NHL job. There is some crossover, right?
Yeah, but it's hard to make that jump. I think there's a different level of control with a college kid than you go into a. You have a bunch of Russians and you can't just put them through a workout and expect them to do it. You kind of have to manage the way they grew up.
But Hal, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Willie, you've seen this too. Like the coaches too have the ego and the confidence, maybe some cockiness. Like they want to make the jump to prove that they can do it because they're tired of competing at a level where they're winning.
And
you know what I mean?
Maybe like, they don't have control they used to. Maybe they can't do everything they want to do as a college coach because the player's going to say, well, I don't like this. I'm out of here.
There's a big challenge when you jump up to the pros. I mean, you can be let go in a second. In college, you have a little cushion and you can have an off year.
No doubt.
And I think that's what you're giving up. You might be getting the paycheck. Yeah, David Quinn did that. He was coaching BU and he's gone on to coach the Rangers and then just got let go from the Sharks. Like it was tough for him to make that jump. And I wonder if he's saying, hey, maybe I should have stayed and stuck around with the BU Terriers. I think that's the give and take.
So, Hutt, let's hit you with one football thing here before we let you go. What do you think about what the Cowboys are doing with Dak Prescott? Letting his contract come into the final year and saying, you know what, we're just going to let the chips roll the way they're going. We got other things. We got CeeDee Lamb. We got Micah Parsons. We know we got to pay big bucks for those guys, so we're just going to see what happens at quarterback. It's kind of against the grain.
It is, and they may be trapped now, Willie, because they trapped in this way. They're going to end up having to pay him one way or the other. They're going to pay the price on their cap because they have restructured his contract a couple of times. It's not I don't compare it to Trevor Lawrence because Trevor Lawrence, the team had the leverage. The Cowboys don't really have it because he is going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, Dak Prescott. He has a no tag clause in his deal now.
Hmm.
So they're not going to tag him because they can't. They've given him that right. And if they let him walk, let's say he's an unrestricted free agent, he signs elsewhere. He goes, he walks, and he's the quarterback of the Raiders next year. There's like a $40 million dead cap hit on the Cowboys cap next year. If that happens,
that's not good.
He's counting millions upon millions this year on their cap. So it actually behooves them to actually restructure and extend him and continue to maneuver money around. They're going to end up doing that because it benefits them in so many different ways to keep Prescott on the roster and lower the cap number more so than just let him walk and play it out and earn it and let him lose another playoff game. You see what I'm saying? Like they have to figure out a way to keep him at a certain number that they want to keep him at, but also keep a pretty good quarterback that wins a lot of games on their roster and see if that guy can't develop and win some playoff games.
What is the mindset of a football player? I know the hockey mindset because we have guaranteed contracts and you want to sign that 8-year deal because you're going to get that 8 years. You're going to get
no matter
what. There's no restructuring. There's no, hey, let's redo this so we can, that's your money and that's what you're going to get. But for a hockey player, there's a lot of stress that goes into that last year because you have nothing guaranteed after. It may be not as big a deal for Dak because nothing's guaranteed anyway. Does that change things?
Well, the guarantees would be coming up. The full guarantees, man. That's where the NFLPA's got it. They've got a strength. The quarterbacks have to come together and help out the rest of the players, but that won't happen for the Players Association. But beyond that, that's a huge topic. But beyond that, I love players and contract years in the NFL. Because the guaranteed money is about to happen next March whenever they sign anywhere. Like Trevor Lawrence, who hasn't proven anything in the NFL, just got $200 million guaranteed to sign his name. Now, props to him. He's been the anointed one since high school. But Dak Prescott's been the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. He's made a lot of money. But he knows that every contract at quarterback is the next highest paid player in the history of the NFL. So he's headed directly towards that. And his competition right now is Tua Tagovailoa and Jordan Love. Those are the quarterbacks left, other than Dak Prescott, that are going to get extensions. Trevor Lawrence got his. You can go back to last year. Dak's going to be great. He's set because he's either the Dallas Cowboys quarterback long-term or he's going to be in Las Vegas with the Raiders. He'll be potentially around the league where several other options that are quarterback needy. All were in the in the sweepstakes recently for some veterans that were on the market, like Kirk Cousins and others. I mean, I look around and I think he's in a sweet spot where he can't be franchised, and he's going to get the money up front that he wants. He can sit back and say, hey, you guys want to restructure, I'm just going to play it out. I'm going to play this year out because, win or lose here, I'm going to get paid elsewhere. I'm going to win. And he's probably going to play really, really well. And he has in the regular season now. Dax played great in the regular season. It's the playoffs where I don't put my money.
And he could. It could get better for the Cowboys, but it could get a lot worse. They might look back and say it was pretty good when we had Dak. You know,
they were salary cap handcuffed. They didn't do anything but the draft this offseason as far as additions.
Yeah. Hutt, great stuff. As always, we'll talk again next week, and keep enjoying your summer.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, and I'll catch up next week.
All right.
Cool out there.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, and he joins us every Wednesday here on the program.